to turn in your Bible, please, to Jeremiah chapter 3. And in our prayer meetings, studies, or looking at Jeremiah, we looked at chapter 3, in particular, going, if I may, for time's sake, down to verse 22. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. The word backsliding is like the word apostasy. And I will heal your backsliding. Behold, the response to God's invitation. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Thou art the Lord our God. So we acknowledge you as the Lord God. Verse 23. Truly, truly, recognizing God as God, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. And so looking out there at any religious, any kind of activity to salvage, to save, to set apart, to make anything work apart from God won't work. No matter where we look, no matter how we look, no matter what we look at. Verse 23. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills, from the multitude of mountains. We shared all that together, but in particular again, truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. And the little verb isn't there. It's added to make a sentence, to make it flow. But if we're going to go and seek to not try to make it flow, things that are, the harder the text is, the more accurate it is. That's the rule of thumb. When it says, boy, that's difficult, that's probably the more accurate one. So now, here in verse 23, the Lord our God, we share together, he is salvation. We're recognizing the person of God in his person, that he is the saving solution to Israel in the future and in right where they were. And in the process, he would become to them all that would need to be. And we shared that. I'm just going to take it again, if I may, since it is not a commonly understood understanding. It is not common among God's people to understand this, and it is essential to understand it. And thus, I'll read this last part, the Lord our God is, God is salvation. The person of God, person of God is salvation, a person. Now, over to chapter 23. God is person, salvation. And now we're going to do it again. It's over and over again when you get it. I'll read verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, in the future, as we had in chapter 3 and 23. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the land. In his days, Judah shall be saved. How so? And Israel shall dwell safely. How is this going to be? This is his name. His name, the righteous branch, the God, God's person is going to save them. Verse 6, his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. The Lord is is. The Lord, salvation, the Lord, righteous. He is the right one. He is our righteousness. A person is God's, is their rightness. A person is. Now, go again. You'll see it over to chapter 31. And in chapter 31, picking up, in the light of context, everything, picking up quickly in verse 33, because you want to get the movement. But 31:33, in the future, God makes a wonderful promise to Israel. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, that I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will be God to them. I will be salvation to them. I will be righteousness to them. I will be, and they will be to me, they will be to me, my people. Now, hang on. Now, you know a relationship. What is the, we use relationships to work, what you eat and everything, you have relationships. Well, what is a relationship? A relationship, the word means to bring back, to make a connection, to bring back, relationship. And we use it. You don't want to, we're talking about a person to person, God's personal person to a person, and relationship. So I'll give it to you easy. A father and a son. The father is to the son, a father. And the son is receiving that relationship and allowing the father to be the son's father. The son is going to enjoy the father. And the father is going to enjoy the Son. God the Father is going to enjoy the perfect humanity of Christ as a man, as the God-man. And the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, is going to enjoy God. It's a relationship. You are going to allow God to be the Savior. You are going to exercise the enjoyment of God saving you. And God is going to enjoy the connection of being your Savior. Personal. Personal. Now, back over if you would. To Exodus. I need to go back there because we're going to go from there. And I want to refresh my mind if you'll let me, so that I may move with understanding. Exodus chapter 3. And I remind you, as we did, they did in the conference a little bit, the great issue of the Bible, the Word of God, before there was no Word of God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob did not have the Word of God. They just had God. Just had his person. And so did Moses, just have his person for a while. And they had a wonderful, what is the relationship, God? We're given your word so that we can exercise what they exercise. It is to have a healthy relationship, a reverential relationship to God, to fear God. To have a healthy, holy, happy respect for God. To reverence and recognize his person. And that's our privilege, to allow God to be God, to fear him. And his privileges, and he's going to enjoy you and I and believers as they recognize, he's going to enjoy their believing in him. A relationship. A personal relationship. And that's the whole issue, all the way from Genesis, all the way to Revelation 14, etc. In the tribulation, remember, God gives a message, chapter 14, to the whole world. In the tribulation, he's going to give, the whole world's going to get the message. All going to come and make everyone get it. And the moisture is fear. I'll give you the two words. Fear God to the whole world. Everyone's going to hear it. What is the issue in heaven? You're going to have a respect and a reverence for God. And you will enjoy God being God, and God will enjoy you honoring him as God. It's a relationship, husband, wife. You can do it, work, all kinds of things. You have a stomach, and you put food in your stomach, and the food isn't going to work because the food doesn't talk to us and everything. Well, it does talk to you. If food goes down, it could talk to you. There's no question. You may not like its message. We'll forget that illustration. Exodus chapter 3. Picking up. Remember, it's very personal. And if you're looking, you're looking for, what do you read your Bible for? To be aware of God. Not that your IQ is super duper. It reminds you of who he is. It's his word to get us to himself. And you read the Bible in your prayer time, and whatever, a little verse at work. You have little verses we have, and you read a little verse like a candy bar, and you're chewing a candy bar, don't you? Don't they have energy bars? They have energy bottles, energy bars, don't they? 5 years of energy in one sip. Wow. And we have that, and you want to go when you want to be conscious. When you do that, it reminds you of God's presence, which you never leave, which you never can escape from. We just don't recognize it. And again, I remind you to that which you know well. You and I are in the bottom of the ocean of air right now. And until I mentioned it, you would not think about it. And you are rather unconcerned about it, but you're very comfortable because you're breathing it. And the minute it disappears, you all take notice when there's no air. We're unconscious of the presence of God, and we need to be conscious of him. And when you are, and you read your Bible, and you read your verse or whatever it is, it's to remind you, you never are out of his presence. And when you read the Bible, like we said the other day, when you read Genesis or whatever, right now, we're in the presence of the one who did this. And what I'm going to read, when God answered Moses, I'm in the presence of the God who did it right now. And that makes the Bible awfully, awfully pertinent and personal. Understand? And it isn't just, oh, I read the Bible, I read three vast chapters, you know. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God said unto Moses. Moses wants to know what the name is, remember. And I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am. And I am, remember, is a verb, imperfect verb. It comes the verb to breathe, breathing, to exist, to have existence, to live, to breathe, to be existing, living, the living one. I am the living one. who, remember the word we did it last time, the little pronoun that is a pronoun that goes back in that of who. I am who. I am who. And you want to know who is I am? I am who I am. I am exactly who I am. And then he proceeds, remember, in verse 14, you want to tell the children my name, and you're going to give it to them, not as this I am that I am. You're just going to say one thing. You're going to say, the end of verse 14, I am hath sent me unto you. I am who I am. You tell him I am. You tell him I am. And remember, we shared together the verb to become. God is always, forever, who he is. And our problem in our world, believing Christian world, is we have a lousy, not you all, have a lousy sense of God. We have a Protestant, Catholic, Muslim sense of God. We have a lousy sense of God. We don't understand God. We don't even know how to talk about him. God, he's something like us, and then since we don't know him, we bring him down to, we make him man-sized. We bring God down to pray to him. We bring God down to trust him. We bring God down in the cancer and everything. We're going to bring him down to bring him man-sized because we can't understand. We have no sense of who he is. The infinite, invisible God, who made himself wonderfully known so you could understand him in the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man. Now, I am that I am, and he become. He is everything he is. He can never be less than, more than he is. But he's able to give expression to who he is forever. Forever. He's going to express all that he is. And thus, I am that I am, and I'm going to exhibit I am by becoming to you all that I am. I am God. I'm going to become to you God. I am salvation. I'll become salvation. I am going to become to you who I am. I always am. And you'll discover who I am as I reveal myself. Now, watch. Go with me, please, over. If you would. Oh, go where? Over. Psalms. Easy. You're familiar with it. And you'll notice, please, in Psalm, I'm just going to read it. You read them all the time. But we don't connect often like we should. Psalm 18, David had a wonderful relationship to a personal God. Not a force out there. The force. Don't know God, so something's out there that makes birds, bees, bugs, and planets float around. Wow. Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. God. Where is your strength, David? God is my strength. Verse 2. The Lord not only is my strength, he is my rock. The rock, the rock, the stable, solid ground that I can rest upon, and be sure of. He is my rock. He is my fortress. Where is the place that you're protected and kept safe? He, God, is. He is my deliverer, a person. A person every single time. God, you are to be to me all of these things. That's correct. My God, my strength. Verse 2. In whom I will trust, my buckler, a shield. My horn, that the horn, think of the horn of offensive, defensive weapons of animals. And the horn is the right, the elephant's horn, or the rhinoceros's horn, or the water buffalo's horns, and their horns are there, and they're there to protect. They're the predominant thing, feature that stands out that gives them notoriety. You are my horn. You are my offense. You are my defense of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, verse 3, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I'm going to call upon the Lord, and he will trust, he will deal with my heart. A person. So whatever I'm looking for, I'm always understanding I'm looking for God. I'm not looking for him to do something. I'm looking for him to be something. A person. If I make something happen, God, show me. No, then I'm not going to connect. My relationship isn't working. It's a person. And I'm always looking for his person. But I'm always in his presence. I always have his person. And he will be whatever is required. He will be. So I'm not looking for something to come out and sit on the table here. I'm just understanding that he is that. You don't have to do a thing. I don't have to do a thing. He is to me. All of that. Would you go with me if you would? Oh, John, the Gospel of John. We're trying to be there on Sunday, but we haven't got this far yet. Next week we'll get here. Chapter 6. I could do like the conference, a whole chapter. I could read you three chapters if I could read fast. And we'd cover the Gospel of John in no time at all. No time at all. I could, read it and try to enunciate it completely. John chapter 6. God's personal person. You have a personal Savior if you got saved. A person. If you don't have a person, then you're stuck because you're trying to read and think and implement truth or error apart from anybody. And who can make it work? But you know it. Psalm 23. There's an illustration. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. There it is. My shepherd. Who's your shepherd? He is the shepherd. 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 Sheep. 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 The shepherd enjoys, wants to be the shepherd. So I, the sheep, enjoy the shepherd, and the shepherd enjoys his sheep. A relationship. Personal relationship. Now, so I want to have that. If I don't have that, then I'm really stuck. And that's why our world, and we shared it, someone did in the conference, we have a terrible dilemma nationally and globally. And a worse situation is spiritually. And we illustrated that a little bit and could have illustrated it a lot. What you and I fumble around with here trying to learn is very rare. I wish it wasn't. I wish it wasn't. But it is. And then we have religion and church, and we have no sense of an understanding that gives us a unique experience that is to be enjoyed of God. John chapter 6, our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man, represents what we're trying to say, trying to show. You remember, all in the Gospel of John, he is the I am, I am, I am, I am. Case in point, verse 35, chapter 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. the Lord Jesus Christ as perfect man, trusted God perfectly. And that God, he's man, God made, created him for the Creator to exercise the created and for the created to enjoy the Creator. He's perfect man, and he allows God to be all of who he is in his manhood. God enjoys the perfect humanity of Christ, and the humanity of Christ enjoys a perfect God. Now, it's true, he's the God-man, but the person of our Lord Jesus Christ steps back so that the humanity of Christ must be demonstrated. And you know it, but I'm going to do it. Over to chapter 5, right next door. Because you want to connect each to get a piece and then connect the next one, connect the next one. So you're building a picture. Your mind is just one great, wonderful picture. Not pieces of verses. A picture. You live with a picture. You live with a person. You have a person, not just his arm or his hand. You have a person. And the person is developing. Wow. Thus, chapter 5, our Lord Jesus, just going to one place to get it. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear I judge, my judgment is just. Why is that? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. God didn't create man to represent himself. God created humans to represent God. I would be a liar. I would be false. That's what the devil wants me to do, to represent me, my rights, my everything. That's what the devil wants. And the Lord Jesus Christ, this perfect man, is going to tell us perfectly, I am that I am. And now what Israel goofed on, and they didn't do it. They didn't, as individuals did, but as a nation, they didn't do it. And our Lord Jesus, God demonstrates the same wonderful truth they could have had. And then here comes the church along, believers, representing the wonderful resurrected life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what are they supposed to do? They are going to represent him. We are his what? Witnesses. We are witnesses unto his life. Whose life? His. Where did you get the life? Where is the life? In your left hand, your right hand. It's in the person of Christ that I received. I can't have one drop of God's life apart from God. You can't have anything apart from God that belongs to God. Because everything belongs to God. God doesn't hand out things, you know, peace, joy, and we're looking for it. And we people use the terms, and we use it from a human standpoint. But we're missing out on how it works. So here in John chapter 5, I do nothing of myself. Now, for believers, moving very quick, I hope, I don't want to lose you. I don't want you to get this. I don't want you to get it. God does. It's the truth that makes everything work. And all the rest is you're hearing verses and reading and studying and trying to be God-fearing out there and trying to handle the ups and downs and the hard things of life, and you're trying to do it all by your lonesome out there. And you're going to get weary in doing that. And you're going to get weak. Because you can't do it. You don't have anything. We're trying to do it. You're ruining it. See, you don't have to do that. Watch. First Corinthians, if you would. First Corinthians chapter 1. May I pick up, please, in thought. First Corinthians chapter 1. And may I go, if I can, over directly to verse 29. 1 and 29. 1 Corinthians, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That means none of human anything, like we had on the other day here. A branch. A branch is just a plain old branch. And that's all it is. And it isn't very impressive. The only time the branch is impressive is when it's on the tree and when it produces fruit. And leaves. Just a dead branch. I probably left him outside there. Just a dead branch. It's totally unimpressive. And humans are just dead branches. Disconnected. God made them. I am the vine, ye are the branch. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do how much? Nothing. You're just a branch. You're just a human. What purpose are humans? To go to work and pay bills, taxes, everything? Is that all it is? We get out of bed, go to work, and do what we do. Enjoy a pizza here and a Friendly's ice cream over here. And hopefully we handle our bills and our heartaches and our headaches. Oh, and we hope that it? You got to think about it. Well, I've worked 30 years. I'm ready to retire. Good. Now what are you going to do? We're going to retire and do the same thing you did. Just I'm going to go to work. Going to retire and die. Now what? Now what are you doing different? You're not doing anything. What's the purpose? What's the purpose? Why do it? There is a reason. God made you wonderful, wonderfully able to enjoy the Creator, to enjoy a personal God in a personal way for all of the personal benefits, humanly and heavenly. But you have to want the relationship. Most people don't want a personal God because a personal God louses up what you're doing during the day. You have to think different. You have to feel different. You have to speak different. You handle your life different, don't you? You know, if you're there, if you're... I was going to give you an illustration. If everyone's watching you, boy, you behave yourself, you know. Person could be very, very upset. Very, very upset. But here they come. Here's 20 people standing there in a group. And you're there. You're sort of shape up, don't you? You could be glad about, you could be mad about something somewhere, but if a bunch of people are watching you, don't you try to have a good show? I mean, you don't want to look bad. You try to look good. And people try to look good, handling out what they're trying to make it work when you don't have to do that. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, God, God is going to what? God is going to go, and you are in Christ if you received him as your Savior. And God is going to take the Lord Jesus Christ and is made, the little verb, is made to exhibit, to become. God is made or is become unto you. What is God being going to be to you? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Who is wisdom? God is. Who is your righteousness? God is. Who is your sanctification being set apart like the watch? The watch is sanctified, and I put it on, and the watch is now being sanctified. It is fulfilling the purpose that God made this, the people made this. No, watchmaker, whatever company it is, $15 company. People are meant to fulfill the purpose God made for them. They are to be set apart for God. Sanctified. God is to us. I have a wonderful thing. I don't know where I put it somewhere. And they have in the middle of the circle, the Lord Jesus Christ, just the name, of course. The Lord Jesus Christ. And then around the circle like this, are all the things that he is to us in the light of the Bible. And you go around the circle, and he is all of these things to a person. Now, over, if you would, to chapter 4 of Hebrews. Chapter 4 of Hebrews. You know the book, chapter 4, chapter 3, etc. in Hebrews. It's all about believers growing up, maturing, developing, becoming adults, mature. So now, and thus the Hebrews of believers ought to be encouraged. Because what Israel failed to do, to enter into the wonderful rest that God had, and we were touched on that as we proceeded this far, they didn't enjoy that rest. And God will say so right here in chapter 4. And thus, I'll start with that. Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, they shall enter into his rest, into my rest, said God. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, for they to whom it was first preached entered not, N-O-T. Why didn't they enter in? Why didn't they enjoy it? Because of unbelief. Verse 7. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will, Psalm 95, etc., if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God offers a wonderful rest. And that rest is what God has done. Let me catch it and I'll try to illustrate it. If Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? But they didn't accept, they didn't receive, they didn't allow God to be who he was and do what he would do. Therefore, verse 4, for he that has entered into his rest. Now, that's an important pronoun. Why? It doesn't say your rest. It doesn't say whether you feel good. It doesn't ask you anything. Whose rest is it that you're going to rest in? It's his, not yours. So you aren't going to say, well, boy, I'd have peace and hold it now. That's us trying to get it. And it isn't ours. That isn't what he offered you. Your rest. He offered you his rest. Before the world was ever created, God had finished everything. Has he not? He had finished creation, and he had finished redemption before it was ever started. And then he started it. And then on the seventh day, Genesis 2, 1, etc., he rested on the seventh day. He was demonstrating what? I've finished this. When he died on the cross, his last statement, it is finished. And into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. It's all finished. So everything, since God doesn't have any time. There is no past, and there is no future for God. Everything is now. That's hard, isn't it? Everything is now. There is no future, and there is no past. Everything is all at once. So how can that be? Well, because that's why he's God, you see? He's God. If he was like us, we'd have to miniaturize him. But he isn't. And he doesn't move. He never has to move. Like we said the other day, was it? When you get in your car, he was waiting for you. When you get in the car, he was waiting for you. He was already there. He's already in your bedroom and you aren't even there. He's already there. And we have, in Christ and because of Christ, wonderful access to him. The world doesn't know beans about it. And they come and go, Romans John 1:10, and they don't even know he is. But he is. And he that cometh to God, Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh to God must what? Believe that what? He is. And that's our problem. And that's why we got church problems historically and in the future. And that's why we got national problems. We have no sense of God. Really, practically. No benefits. No benefits. Huge benefits, but they're all missing. Now, so here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. His own works. No, sir, it isn't effort and energy I'm going to put into it. No, I'm not going to do. I'm going to have it done so that I can do. Work out your own Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Verse 13 connects it together. For it is God which worketh what? In you. See? In you. To work and to do of his good pleasure. It's a relationship. A personal one. And I eliminate the person. I can't see him. I can't feel him. I can't touch him. He manifested his wonderful person in our Lord Jesus Christ. An undeniable, unquestionable crucifixion and unable to refute his marvelous resurrection. You're stuck. Now, Hebrews 4, his wonderful rest. And now, in the light of that, if I can. Dear I go. God, before the foundation of the world, God had it all done. God came along, and he sent his Son to demonstrate to the world that this is all finished. The Son, God sent his Son into the world. And here's the world. And God sent his Son into the world to tell the world, that God has made a wonderful provision for them. And what they had to do is allow to trust God with all their heart, to give, to fear God and give him due respect and due reverence. Don't make him a thing or don't substitute stupidity, foolishness in place of him. Honor him. And if you did, then the believing heart, here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and the believer receives him. And when the believer receives him, he brings all of God into your heart. He is God. He brings God into your heart. And wonderfully, and because he brings you into his heart, and therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man, woman, be a boy or girl, be in Christ, they're what? New creatures, and all things have passed away. Everything has become new. Colossians 1:27, all kinds. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. And God, the minute he gets in here, he places you in here. And when you get in here, you're in here. And it's all finished. You are now able to exercise all that God did before he ever did anything. Rest from your own works. Stop. Trying to figure everything out? You aren't going to figure it out. It's amazing we have anything. Now, in the light of that, quickly, over. His rest. Verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. We're going to diligently roll up our sleeves. We're going for it. Going for the gold. Lest any man fall. after the same example of fail, after the same example of fall or fail, after the same example of unbelief. I don't want to miss out. God said they missed out, they missed out, they missed out. How about you? Are you going to miss out? That's what God wants to know. That's what he's saying, Hebrews. Are you going to miss out? I offered it. Well, I got my life and my job and my heartache and headache and my home and my... Sure you do. A lot of us do, one form or another. What difference does it make? Now, we have wonderful rest. So what are you going to do? Well, you know, we've done it. In the light, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I'll run it by you, so just like we did with my shield, my reward, my high tower. So, God, where am I going to get this? He's the God of all comfort. It isn't something I feel sorry for. That's all right. But that can never replace God's personal giving of himself. So that, Romans 8, all of them, all things what? Work together for good. How so? God said, look at me. Look at me. I am a good God. And I do good. I am your good. I am your comfort. I am. Wow. Thus. So in the midst of our, we get sick, but then we have his health. We fail, but we're able to rest in his success. We're in great danger, but we're able to rest in his safety. We get anxious and concerned. Unsure. But then we rest in his surety. We become weak. And we find his strength in another person, not our person. And when you get all tied up trying to figure out all the words and the grammar, it's a job. God meant it. God didn't. God gave you a wonderful, simple Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek language. He gave it to you so you could have it. But when it's all done, you know why it's all messed up? Because we have no personal sense of God. And when I understand I'm in the presence of God, whew, sober. With a book, sober. Yes, sir. I'm not messing around, God. And that's what God honors. And that's why we can be good students. That's why we learn. Because we're a sense of God. A book, God's book. Back and forth. God, here you are. No other book in all the world. 1 Corinthians 3. Watch it here. Therefore, let no man... Verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Why? For all things are yours. How can that be? Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's Peter, or the word, or the world, or life, or death... Or things present, or things to come. All are yours. Now how can that be? And you are Christ. And Christ is God's. And everything, God has the whole ball of wax, doesn't he? So when he says, I have your death and your life. And because you have me, relationship, you enjoy all that I have. And am, so that I can enjoy you as you allow me to be your father. As I allow you and receive you as a child, to receive you as a son. You are Christ and Christ is God's. And you already have it. And that's why one of the things I know, I want you to know the wonderful intent I had before I came out was to stop early. I did. Because I know you've been out the last two nights and you all went out. Some of you are. Some of you put a lot of time in. God bless you for it. Now, over to Romans 8. But I don't know how to say this stuff to you in two sentences. I think I have to hammer it in 85 different ways. And one day it's going to stick. And you're going to go with it. And you're going to be, wow, are you going to be different from now on, man? You're going to read the Bible differently. You're going to pray differently. You're going to think differently. You're going to consider the assembly differently. You're going to see the whole thing differently. But until you get there, it's all on a horizontal level. And it's very hard. Romans 8, God, since all of this is ours, that's right. And all of it exists in me, said God. And all I want you to know, your unique personal relationship to me. Verse 35, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword? Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We aren't on the top, we're on the bottom, but on the bottom we're winning. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we have that unique, wonderful relationship that is permanent if you're saved. It is not going to be profitable unless you trust God. You all have physical life, most of you. You all have physical life. To what measure you capitalize on being a human in these trying, demanding days is up to you. How much you want, you can put yourself into the great world here in the light of a great God and capitalize. And instead of being down in the dumps and having all the things in your life that's hard, everything's hard. But, you know, Peter, Paul would say, the Lord Jesus, remember Paul had his physical problem? Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, he had his physical problem. And then, he said, God said, and Paul said, listen, how about a little relief? And God said, you remember it, my grace is what? My grace is enough for you. And so Paul shouted out, in my weakness is strength. You see, I'm weak, you're strong. I'm ignorant, you're smart. I don't know, you do. I don't know how to put the pieces together. God, you do. And I'm in his presence. And I know he does it. If I don't have a present God, what I just said went into the ceiling and no further. But if there is a present God, you and I just addressed him in a most wonderful way. And that's what you want to do. It isn't hard. God made it wonderfully easy. God didn't want us to be religious up to here and empty in here. God help us. Thank you. I hope I got a little. Perhaps you have a particular